Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara, the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, the words of Kodem Peres Eilu, the new Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us, our learning is once again sponsored, Le'ilu Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Shadav and Aliyah. So the Mishnah tells us, Kodem Peres Eilu Alai. If a person says that these fruits are Kodem on me, Kodem Im Alpi, or their Lashon of Kodem on my mouth, Kodem Hen Lifi, they are Kodem to my mouth, Aser Bechilufeyen Uvigiduleyen. You're going to be usher, not just from the item itself, but even if you exchange that item for something else. Now, there is a very, very big machlokas we showed him. How to understand this concept in the Mishnah, and then it really will play out into the understanding of the Gemara as well. So we're going to just go with the Ran. The Ran has a richus about this over here. That's why the daf is short. The Ran over here has a very long richus. So we're just going to go with the pshita of the Ran. He's understanding that when a person uses this lashon of perus ha'elu, it seems to be that's the way that Ran understands it, when you say the words of perus ha'elu, you're indicating that you want it to be like hektish. So if you say perus ha'elu, so then you then say konem perus ha'elu, or konem en lepi, those things on the perus ha'elu, so then that creates the lashon that it's like hektish, and therefore, just like hektish is usher, in itself. Also, hektish is also usher if you transfer that to something else, that which you, any item which exchange hektish for, the iser remains intact. So too, with regards to these fruits, if you exchange them, then not only is that food usher, but even the thing that you exchange it for is also going to be usher. As opposed to, the Ran points out, if you just, and we're going to see the Hamsheikh, if you just, let's say, want to usher yourself, whatever it might be, olives. So then, you're not assumed to make a lashon of hektish. Rather, the neder is just seemingly going to be aser on all olives itself, and therefore, if you would exchange olives, then that those exchanges of olives would then, in fact, be mutter. That is the way the Ran understands it. The Ran just points out that it's also that lechora, when the madir does exchange it, lechora that's going to be aser, since that's still considered a benefit. How are you allowed to exchange, let's say, the olives case we just had? You're asering all olives to you. You're not allowed to do that. We're just talking about b'di'evit. If you already did it, you violated the iser, do those things that you exchange it for become usher as well? To that, there would be a chilek between if you use the lashon of peros ha'elu with the konam as opposed to not. That as the Ran understands the Gemara, the Mishnah over here. And also things that grow from them are going to be, it's going to be usher just like hektish. So since you're going to be like hektish, anything that grows from them also is going to be usher as well. Mid'erabanan, l'chora, because when it comes to hektish, that lechora should be, that's a shayla actually. When it comes to hektish, it's only esr derabanan. When the gidul hektish is esr midarabanan. So the shayla is, when it comes to nedarim, I believe there's a shayla about this. I know some rishonim want to tie that maybe it's even daraisa, maybe achronim, that maybe it's really daraisa because it's really the lashon of your neder clearly meant to include it like hektish, and hektish you understand as a full-fledged esr, even though it, albeit it's derabanan, but you're viewing it as an esr, so your neder is tofes on a level of daraisa. So it's even more machmir then hektish. Very interesting shita over there that some want to explain of in that point that even it would be asr midaraisa to have the giduleyan also. Fine, that's what grows to them. She'ani ochel, if the fruits are going to be konem, that with regard to my eating. So you didn't limit your neder to peros ha'il. You don't say peros ha'ilu. Or she'ani tom, or I taste. So then the lacha is going to be mutar b'chilufehen. One will be permitted to eat or taste things that you exchange for them. Uve gidulayim, and also the things that grow from them. Since you assert only these exact items, so the things that you're exchanging them is going to be mutter. So that's how we're understanding it over here. Bedavar zaro kale. Now this is going to apply to produce when the seeds would decompose. Most plants grow from a seed that decomposes as the growth process begins. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that that when it comes to the growth, a konem on peros ha'elu is going to aser the growth, but not the growth, the gidulei, the growth of their growth. That's what the Ran points out. And a konem with regards to eating or tasting doesn't even forbid the original gidulei. So the Mishnah is telling us that both of these halakhas are true only for things which the seed decomposes when planted. The plant that grows from seed is therefore not going to be considered to have any part of the original iser, and is therefore going to be permitted. Even though the growth is going to be, when you say this lashon, the seed itself is still going to be usher. That's what they point out. Okay, so the Mishnah goes weiter. Avav davar she'ein zaro kale. But when it comes to a neder, where we assume that the seeds do not decompose, afilo gidu gidulei nasurin, and then even the second level growths are going to be usher. So pointed out, that was the point from the when even when you say the lashon of konam peros ha'elu, the gidulei and the grimutter. So the point is, when you have a gross from the thing that grew itself, that is going to be from that is going to be when the seeds don't decompose. It's going to be usher even in the regular of even in the regular nether of fruit. That's how we're going to explain it. Now the Ran is bothered by, why don't we say bitul barov? So granted that the new growth and the gidul gedolayim have some portion of the original iser, but don't we assume that there's such a minute percentage, and therefore we should say that it's batal barov? So the Ran is very bothered by this, and the Ran says maybe we could teach that this would be what's called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Davar sheyesh lo matirin, the pashtus is only midirabanan, but davar sheyesh lo matirin that we say is eino batal barov. Meaning, what is the davar sheyesh lo matirin? Something which will become mutter to you in the future, for whatever reason. In our example, so a davar sheyesh lo matirin is something which can become mutter for you in the future if you annul your nether, if you do a taras tadarim. So therefore, it's considered b'shem, davar sheyesh lo matirin. And that's why it's not even batal barov. That's a big chiddush of the Ran. That's not so Pasha, he himself questioned it. But that's a very interesting answer the Ran gives. Fine, the Mishnah says, Vayter ha'omer le'ishto. Someone says to his wife, koine ma'isei adayich alai. The things that you do, meaning your literally your hands of the work of your hands, is koinam to me. Why is this okay? Why isn't a davar shel ba'olam? She didn't make them yet, so that's what we. Gemara, I believe in Ksubas already brought this up, and we said that the ma'isei adayim are ista ba'olam. That the fact that you have the hand, her hands exist, and the things that she will make from them is considered davar shel ba'olam. Koinam alpi, if they're koinam to my mouth, koinam him lefi aser bechalofayim uvegedulayim. So we're really paralleling these halachas to the ratio of our Mishnah. We're just adding the case that this applies also to this person as well. That's the idea. That's similar to Peros Ha'elu, and therefore it's going to have the same implications, and it's going to have the lachas of Hektish. So the Ran discusses what's an example of this. If you have food that she prepares, so really only the improvement that results from her work becomes asertim, not the raw food that she worked on. So example that the Ran says is, let's say you have wheat that she grinds, and then she bakes bread from it, she uses flour, so then it's only the value of the grinding and the baking that is usher to him. So that's mixed into bread, obviously not allowed to eat it. So what can you do is you can sell this bread and take out his share, the portion, subtracting the labor of his wife, and that in turn would be mutter to him. That would be the nafkamina to, if you assume that his portion is mutter. So, uvigidu layem, sha'ani ochel, the vayter, if he says that the ma'isei adayim is konem in regards to my eating, sha'ani tolam, or in regards to my tasting, mutter b'chalufayin uvigidulayim. It's mutter, the things I receive in exchange for them, and those that grow from them. B'davar shezaro kala, this is alachas with seed that decomposes. B'davar she'en gidulot kala, afilu gidulay gidulayin arsar, and just like we have in the Reisha, but when it comes to things that does not decompose, that even what grows from the things that grew is also going to remain asr. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Sha'at ose eni ochel ad Pesach. If a person says that, what you make, I will not eat until Pesach. Sha'at ose eni miskase ad Pesach. Or that, what I make, I will not wear until Pesach. Asasa lifnei Pesach, mutter lechol iskasas achar Pesach. If she made something before Pesach, he's permitted to eat or wear it after Pesach. Since he limited the duration of his nether until Pesach, after Pesach, he's allowed to wear it. So lechor, this is pashut. So the Ran just points out, the Mishnah is just making it clear that we don't consider the possibility that maybe the lashon of the neder of ad Pesach until Pesach refers back to the lashon of she'at osa, that maybe he's telling us that he left that a little bit vague, so maybe we would assume that he meant to define the time which he wouldn't need it ever. So that's what he would have maybe used it either, not eight. We're not talking about the niskasos. So here we're saying that is not the case, meaning that he would be allowed to. She'at osa ad Pesach eini ochel, if he says that I will not eat that which you make until Pesach. We had both examples. Actually, I had eating or wearing. Here is, I'm not going to eat that which you make until Pesach. I'm not eating. Or now here's wearing. Or what you make until Pesach, I will not wear. The halacha is, if she made something before Pesach, he is forbidden to eat or wear it even after Pesach. Since he did not place any time on how long he would not eat this item or wear this item. So therefore, it's usher to him forever. So the Mishnah says, Vayter, Sha'at nene li ara Pesach. If a person says to his wife before Pesach, that which you might benefit from me is konam until Pesach, im aleches at levet avich ad achad. If you go to your father's house any time from now until Sukkos. So what was the whole point of this? A guy wants to, over here, he wants to prevent his wife from going to her father's house. He doesn't like him. So the husband made a konam against her to take effect if she goes. The konam took the form of an Isser to Aser any benefit that she might derive from him from now, whatever time we're in, until Pesach. However, he made this konam taloi on her going any time from now until the following Sukkos. So that period that she might trigger the konam, meaning all the way until Sukkos, is longer than the period of the konam itself from Adar until Pesach, which is only, let's say, using Adar or the month before Adar, whatever it might be, until Pesach. So the Isser, the benefit before Pesach, can take effect retroactively. So this was what we, if you remember actually, on Daf Tesvav, we had a big machlokas about this. We're going to mention this. Halcha lefnei Pesach, asura banasa ara Pesach. If she went before Pesach, she is asur to derive benefit from him until Pesach. By going to her father's house before Pesach, she clearly shafts the Isser, the neder, the konam. Therefore, she's asur to derive benefit from her husband from the duration of the neder until Pesach. So this implication we had in the Gemara, in Daf Tesvav, that as long as she doesn't go, she is going to be permitted to derive benefit, even if she might later go, thereby triggering the konam retroactively. So that we actually had a machlokas. Rav Nachman told us, she is allowed to derive benefit, and she just has to be careful not to go. According to Rav Yehuda, and he said it b'shem Rav, he said no, that even if she did not go, she is going to be also derive benefit from her husband until Pesach, because of the possibility that she might go later on. That was a din derabanan. And our Mishnah doesn't tell us this implication of Rav Nachman. When the Mishnah tells us that she's forbidden to derive benefit if she went, that just means to tell us that she'll get malchus, since the konam already has gone into effect. But if she didn't go, she still would be asur midarabanan. Again, the pasha reading was better, like Rav Nachman over there, but our Rav Huda Marav was able to get out of it by explaining this was just the halachas of in terms of malchus. Now, la'achar Pesach, if she went after Pesach, bival yachal, she's going to be asur the isur deraisa of violating the neder. Again, according to Rav Nachman, the Mishnah is telling us that if she decides to derive benefit from him before Pesach, she has to be careful not to go after Pesach. If she does, she would be violating the konam. She'd be Isser Dereisa, she'd be Chayav Malkus. However, according to Rav Yehuda Marav, the Mishnah is telling us that the reason why she should not derive benefit from before Pesach is because maybe she will come Achar Pesach Bebal Yachal. She'll come to violate the neder. Again, it wasn't as simple of a read. According to Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Nachman definitely fit in better with the Lashon of the Mishnah, as we see from over here. Now we remind ourselves a little bit. But anyway, that was the Machlokas Amoraim about this. Now what about Sha'at Neneli Arachag? That he says the lashon of his neder before Pesach, that which you're going to benefit from me is konam until Sukkos. Im aleches as levisa v'chad Pesach. If you go to your father's house from now until Pesach, halcha lefnei Pesach. So now she went before Pesach. Asher banasa arachag. She is forbidden to derive benefit from him until Sukkos, since she triggered the konam by going. Again, according to Rav Yehuda here, the Mishnah also is telling us that she's also to derive benefit, and you're going to be chayav malchus. However, if she did not go, she would mean asher midrabanan. For the possibility that she might go later. Nevertheless, she's permitted to go after Pesach. Even though she had the konam by going before Pesach, she's now permitted to go again after Pesach. Now, what's the chiddush over here? Why would I think that this should be aser? I may have thought that the Rabbanan would make a gzera Rabbanan from her to go now until Sukkos in order to remind herself that she's aser to derive benefit from her husband until Sukkos. She keeps going. Maybe she's going to think there was no neder. No. There is no Isser Derabanan. She can keep going. She's just usher to derive benefit from now until Sukkot from her husband. Fine. So now we're quoting the Mishnah. Mishnah told us, Ha'omer le'ishto konem maisi adechalai, konem alpi, konem hem lifi. In all these examples, we said that it depends if it's, that it's going to be gedulean, v'gedulean, but if it's something was the seeds were decomposed, then we said that halacha would be, everything should be usher. So based on this, the Gemara is going to have a richos over here. We're going to really not going to get to the answer, which is going to be on Tudap and really till Nantes. But the discussion that we're discussing now is not really about the actual halachas of Nedarim, but really with regards to other halachas, Trumos, Maisos, and Shemitah, that we're going to try to bring a raya from our Mishnah from. That's why I mentioned it. So what's going on over here? The Gemara tells us, Yishmal ish kfar Yama, ve'amrula ish kfar Daima, whatever his name was, either from the village of Daima or from Yama. Yama is more than wherever in the ocean. He would travel a lot. Hela biyada batzel shakar b'shvias. So what is Hela? He actually brought this Isser and showed them it? No. L'chora, the Ran has a gears of Hela Lachas. It's beferish, not like that. The Rush, rather, not the Ran. That the Rush says that the Hela Lachas, he's bringing up this question. Everyone explains it the way anyway. That means he brought up the Shaila of the following question of Hela biyada batzel shakar b'shvias. So he had this onion where someone, he was asking the Shaila about an onion, if someone uproots it in Shemitah. And we know that the halachas of Shemitah has Kedusha Shvius. Very no guarantee in Israel. You still have a lot of, nowadays the vegetables actually are stopping because of Basar Lekita. Now all the fruits become an issue. All the fruits that were done through Heter Mechira, those who don't eat Heter Mechira. So that's now because they're normally done through, they have Kedusha Shemitah to them. So also fruits, if you can have otzer based in, that's also halacha ma'aser, you can have otzer based in, and have them, you have to eat them by kedusha v'tara. So what does that mean? Kedusha v'tara, it means you can't throw it out. Not that you actually have to be and go to mikvah or anything. You're allowed to eat them b'tumas mis. Actually, Rav Rimon had a very interesting hara once. I was listening to Shir. He was very into the otzer based in. So he actually taina that we should dafka have otzer based in because that is the only kadosh fruit that we are allowed to eat is manazet. It's like trumas, you're not allowed to have maestros, right? All this maestro under me, but that's not the kadosh, whatever. But in terms of kedusha, it has kedusha shmita. According to Ramban, there's a mitzvah. La'achlo, below the hefsid is a real mitzvah, according to the Ramban. So it's a very nice thing to have. So I actually tried different, and it's based in whatever. Ultra bases aren't, they have their own kulas, everything. Everyone pointed this out. No matter what you do in the Eretz Yisrael in the Shemitah years, you're going to be relying on a kula. Otzer Bisin has their own kulas. Maybe it is like Schora. Is it even Pasha that this is a mutter? Is a Tosefta the Rambam doesn't quote? Whatever. Everything has their own shaila. So anyway, so there is this concept of Kedusha Shemitah. You're not allowed to sell it. You're not allowed to have enough. You're not allowed to do business with it. You're allowed to have enough. You're supposed to eat it by Kedusha. So Unato Bishminis. So you replanted it in the eighth year. V'rabo Gedula V'yikara. So now, the new growth exceeded the original onion. So the smaller onions had been completely weighed out by the new onions. L'chora, this means that even 1 to 60, because that's what you need a batel, you need batel b'shishim even. So v'achel kabayla, so he asks, Gidulav Heter, so now are these no new growths going to be permitted or asr? V'ikar asr, and the original root is still going to be asr. Keva d'rab gulav meikaro, osa gidulav heter malin is asr, hello, meaning do we say that the original asr would be able to exist, or since the new growth is expanding from the root, which is really was usr, we treat it as an extension of that root, so therefore it's really just extending the isr to everything else, and it can never be batel. So that basically, we're answering, again, essentially, is this new growth, is it essentially something which is mutter or not? Is it part of the original isr or not? That's the Gemara's very, the Gemara's complicated question over here. So the Gemara's, it's not really complicated, the Gemara's just going to handle it from different sources. Also, so he came before Rabbi Ami and he asked him this shayla. Lo ave biyadir, Rav Ami didn't have an answer for him. Also, kamei Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. So he asked Yitzchak Nafka this question. Pashalei me nada. So he had a proof from the following. The Amar Rabbi Chanina Tartisa. Amar Rabbi Yanai. Batzal shel truma shenatu. If an onion of truma was planted, v'rabu gidula valikara, and its new growth exceeded the root, mutar, the onion is going to be permitted. It's no longer considered truma, and therefore permitted to non-kohanim. The new onion, the Rishonim point out, obviously, though, it's still considered tevel, so you have to take off truma. So the point is, it's not going to be truma anymore. So we see over here that it was mutter. So the status of the new growth, l'chor, based on this, are batal b'shishim, and would take over the status of the onion and no longer make the original, make the new growth aser. So and therefore it should be batal by Shemitah as well. Amar le Rabbi Yirmiya, v'tema Rabbi Zrika, Shavik Mar Train Vavid Kechad. Why you? There's two Amorayims who are against the Shita, and you're following the Shita's Yachad of the one Amorah who says that it's Mutter. So who are the two Man Nihu Train? Who are the two that disagree with Rabbi Yana's Halacha? Dam Rabbi Bal Amar Biyochanan Yalda Shesivcha Bezikena. Here we're talking about Orla. Orla, the first 3 years is Asim and Torah to have any benefit from. It's so you're not allowed to use have benefit. So let's say someone cut it down and he grafted it onto an older tree, which was more than 3 years old. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is upa peros, and there was fruit on the young tree at the time. Afal pishal sifa masayim asr, that even if the new fruit increased 200 fold, which is the isr orla, orla becomes bato 1 in 200. Mishnah and orla tell us that. So the fruit grafted on this does not become nullified, does not become bato 1 in 200. So we see the fact that we see the older tree is considered, lechora, part of the orla growth, and must be that therefore it's going to be not bato at all. So the Gemara says it really just considered a hemshech of the original Isser, and therefore it's Asser. V'yamar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini, Yamar Rabbi Yonasan, batzal shenatu b'cherem. If an onion was planted in a vineyard and became forbidden as kilayim, v'naykar kerem, and the vineyard was then uprooted and the onion continued to grow, it eventually grew to 200 times the size it had been in the vineyard when it was uprooted. So Asser, and so this was the second opinion, that the onion is Asser. Here also we see that the new growth is not going to be able to be mevatel the original iser that was done. So lechora, it must be that we see that the new growths themselves are aser, and that's what we see from Araya against Rabbi Yanai. So we lechora see that the Rabbi Yanai would have a problem with these two Amorayim. So the Gemara says hadar asal kamei Rabbi Ami. So Yishmael then came before Rabbi Ami. Upashalei min hada. He had another reason to bring Araya. The Amar Yitzchak Amar Yochanan. Litra betalim shetikna. If you have a litra is an amount. A litra is a weight. Yochanan is talking about replacing a litra of onions because that's clear how much the new crop would be from the original onions. So what is this litra? So you have a litra of onions which you didn't take off trumas or maestros. So what do? You take off trumas or maestros, uzara, and then you replanted it. Mitzaseres levikula. You take off the trumas and maestros according to its entirety. The percentages separated from the trumas and maestros are calculated against the entire new crop, which has both the new onion and the original litra. So what do we see? Again, another raya, alma, osan gidulin, mevatlin ikar. We see from here a raya that the new growths are able to mevatel. So therefore, you'd require a new trumas and maestros. Because if the new growths didn't mevatel the original roots, there'd be no chiyuv to take off trumas and maestros again at all, because it's just a hemshech of the original thing, which I took off trumas and maestros. So this is the halacha. Lechora is a problem, though, because this was in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So that lechora is against Rabbi Abba said in his name, that with regards to the grafting, that it should remain usher. So which is it? We are able to say that it's not the same, or it is. So the Ran tells us that according to the Gemara's understanding, Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Abba are machlokas of what was really Rabbi Yochanan's shita. So Rabbi Yitzchak, understanding Rabbi Yochanan, leaves open the question of how bittul can create new truma, and maeser, for onions already have been taken off trumas and maesos. So the principle of bittul permits a forbidden item by bimavatal the minority. That's what we're saying. But Rabbi Yochanan lechora, that's going to be a raya. So the Gemara says no. Dilma lechurma shani. Maybe maybe with regards to being machmir, we are going to be more machmir. Meaning what? Maybe we understand that the new growth lechora has the koyach to be mevatel a root only when we're going to be machmir, that it's a churma when it's mevatel the root. So like in this case, where the bittul makes you chayav and trumas and maestros, so they're going to be machmir. However, where the bittul would be mekel, like Shemitah, or like the halachas of grafting, or the halachas of, or any other halachas, we're not going to say that it would ultimately mevatel the root. So according to this answer, really we're not sure, and we're just going to be machmir to assume both ways, that to be as machmir as possible. So again, when it comes to truma and maestro, we're going to machmir that you are chayav a new truma and maestro to assume that it is a new growth. So for that purpose, we're going to assume it's a new growth. But for the purposes of mevatel and iser, we're going to assume that it's the same growth and therefore not allow you to be mekel. Okay, but as Hashem, we'll pick up with Ella Min Hadak, because it's really started a new long ride, and tomorrow's short off anyway. So it's complicated. We have to discuss it. There's some minyan in there we have to discuss. But Hashem, we'll pick up with that in tomorrow's daf.